You're listening to Consider This, episode 212, for April 16, 2018.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, believe it or not, it's time for conservative commentary in a mere 10 minutes or less. This is Consider This, and I'm the believable, Doug Payton. If you believe you have something to say, I'm here to listen and highlight it here. Come to the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, to find out how to get your voice heard here. That's CT as in conservative taxing. Speaking of which, I'm going to be talking about the closing chapter of the saga of the IRS targeting of conservatives. Then I'll discuss a win for the March for Our Lives and a win for the City of London, although in both those wins, something is lost. That's coming up. Are you considering buying something on Amazon soon, or even late? On my website, there is a link on the sidebar for Amazon. When you click on it, then you tell them you came from Consider This. And whatever you purchase, some of that purchase price comes back to support this podcast, but you pay the same price. It's just unbelievable. In the unfinished business department, comes word that a $3.5 million payout is being awarded to conservative groups that were targeted by the IRS in the 2012 presidential election. The lead plaintiff was the California-based NorCal Tea Party Patriots. The case swelled into a class action suit by hundreds of groups. The court will decide how much each gets after legal costs. Of course, the real issue is that, well, it doesn't really matter what the real issue is or was. The effect was that conservative groups had their influence muted. That's all that matters to those who set this plan in motion. $3.5 million is a small price to pay for election tampering. And hey, the people who oversaw this effort, Lois Lerner and others, aren't actually going to be paying it. You, the taxpayer, are. Remember, this came from what some in the media liked to refer to as the scandal-free Obama administration. And it's from a government agency that Obama himself claimed had not a smidgen of corruption regarding this. All he had to do was deny, 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 until it didn't matter. No one gets punished, no one gets fired, and there's no way to undo it. This is actual, provable disenfranchisement. This is our domestic government illegally influencing the election. But the same people who run with the Trump-Russia story 24/7 couldn't care less when a bigger story with more observable facts comes their way because the victims are of the wrong political persuasion. Oh, that liberal media. I've mentioned a few times before on this show about the town of Kennesaw, Georgia, that after passing a law saying that every household must own a gun, saw burglaries and other crime plummet in the following year, and they didn't even have to enforce it. Just the law's presence seemed to be enough. So what did the town of Deerfield, Illinois, do with that example? Why, they made sure to learn the exact opposite lesson, of course. A couple of weeks ago, they passed a law unanimously to ban semi-automatic rifles, along with pistols and shotguns, quote, with certain features, close quote. They also voted to ban magazines that hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition. Clearly, coming on the heels of the March for Our Lives and the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, one Deerfield High School student put it this way, quote, "This is our fight. This is our generation's fight, and we're going to keep fighting," close quote. No. This isn't fighting. This is making yourselves a target. Burglars avoid Kennesaw because there's a likelihood that the homeowner has a gun. Conversely, burglars will gravitate to Deerfield because they know that they are not defended, at least not with a gun, unlike the one they are carrying. And don't think that this will be struck down by the Supreme Court. The law was modeled on a ban put in place in nearby Highland Park, which did go to the Supreme Court. In that case, they let a lower court ruling stand that allowed the ban. I want to revisit the crime stats of these two northern suburbs of Chicago in a year or two. Maybe one of you can remind me of that in 2019. My fear is that the residents will have paid a price for ignoring the examples of places like Kennesaw. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And those who learn the complete opposite lesson are just not paying attention. London has finally beaten out New York City. That's right, last February, London scored 15 while the Big Apple only managed 14. The first time in modern history. Unfortunately, it's the kind of game you don't want to win. London, with 8.7 million residents, is just slightly larger than New York City with 8.5 million. But for the longest time, New York was way ahead of London in the number of murders. But February ended that long-standing run, and March continued it, making it the beginning of a trend. There are contributors to the change in statistics. In New York in 1990, 2,245 people were murdered. Since then, that number dropped nearly 90% to 290 murders. Meanwhile, while the total number of murders in London has fluctuated over the years, it's risen by 38% just since 2014. But, you may or may not be saying, England has very restrictive gun laws. How can this be? Indeed, they do. But these are, generally speaking, criminals we're talking about. If they can't get guns, they'll go for something else. It's no surprise, therefore, that fatal stabbings in London have soared. This is, of course, what gun rights groups have been saying for some time now. Killings are a social issue, not strictly a factor of the implement used. I mean, what are you going to do? Create knife control? Well, London's mayor, Sadiq Khan, intends to do just that. In the show notes is a link to an article at The Blaze with this paragraph.
In response to the spike in crime, Khan deployed over 300 additional London police officers to the city's most crime-ridden neighborhoods to stop and search anyone they suspect is carrying a knife. In the U.S., such policies are very controversial and possibly violate the Fourth Amendment, but in England, police are able to stop and search anyone they suspect is carrying a knife.
New York got in trouble for stop and frisk in high crime areas, but London seems cool with being on the cutting edge of governmental restrictions. The next question is, once criminals can't get knives or anything but cooking and eating, what'll they move to next? And will Mayor Khan ban whatever that is as well? How far does this go? The media ignore major stories, towns are banning guns, and knife control is a real thing. Unbelievable. So what are your thoughts about these issues? I want to hear what you have to say. Believe it. Call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. Or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. If you don't want to remember all that, I can believe that. So instead, just go to the website considerthis.ctpodcasting.com to find these and other ways to reach out, as well as a full transcript and links to all the websites I referred to while coming up with this. Check them out and share them, or just share the show notes themselves in case someone doesn't believe you. Well, that's all for now. I hope to have you back next time when, once again, we'll take the time to consider this.